This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who was hoping that the same aliens that built the pyramids would come down during this episode of Big Brother and abduct me at any point to do whatever they would like to me to save me from this episode. Big Brother, I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our recap of the recap here for Celebrity Big Brother. You know, some wondered maybe, were they holding out on us to save all the stuff for the recap? To be determined based on how this podcast goes tonight. But we do have a panel here to talk about it here on a Saturday night edition of Celebrity Big Brother here tonight. First, let's welcome back with us. Of course, you could hear her every week talking about Married at First Sight. Now also Love is Blind. Here is the great Asia Welch. Asia, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm doing well, but I've never been more confused and more just like, oh my gosh, what are we about to talk about?
Yeah. No, tonight? Asia, I feel bad because I feel like that on a normal week, like you might have plans on a Saturday night.
Right? I was like, what is this world where I'm just free on a Saturday night for this recap of the recap? But yep. I'm here. I'm here.
We're here. happy to have you here to talk about it all. Also, we're very happy to have back with us, fresh off of their appearance on Pod Friends, it's Nigel and Kevin. Nigel and Kevin, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. You know, I think that this was actually my favorite episode of the season.
Oh, good.
Because all we got to see was the celebrities being the weird people that they are. So excited to talk about
it. Mm-hmm. They're just us.
Yeah, I appreciated the spontaneity of it all.
Very spontaneous. Yeah.
And I just had a good time. I'm glad to be here to chat about it.
Okay. All right. Happy to have you both back here with us. And then, of course, Taryn Armstrong, maybe longing for the days of Jerry O'Connell.
Well, of course.
Big Brother super fan, Jerry O'Connell.
I noticed you did not get the introduction right again.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'll keep working.
You know, I'm just here to be the McDonald's to your Burger King, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, you should have taken the Disney Channel up on that special.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, but it was too confusing with their computer stoves and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Taryn, how are you doing today on, night two of, it's hell week, but I mean, it's kind of hell month for you.
You know what? I was prepared to be extremely bored by this episode. I actually feel like it was better than most of the episodes.
There were some high points. There were some high points that we'll have some stuff to talk about, of course. Robswebsite.com/BBQuestions to send in your questions. I'm sure that there will be many questions about this recap episode here tonight as we get ready for tomorrow night. We will have more of a traditional episode of Big Brother. We will see our HOH and nominations before we get set up for another 2 hours on Monday night and what I believe to be it's double eviction, baby.
Double eviction. There's so many episodes and it just
that makes me so sad.
Mm-hmm. It's very sad. Very sad.
At least that's a reason for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been just overloaded with this filler. Back to back to back. So at least they should need the full 2 hours for a double eviction.
Of course. Of course. Okay. Kevin and Nigel, we haven't heard from you during this season. You want to give us any quick takes on the Celebrity Big Brother so far?
I think just like every season of Celebrity Big Brother, it all feels like a weird fever dream. And that's what I'm here for. I love a too fast of a Big Brother season. It's all compacted down very quickly. So I've enjoyed the ride.
Yeah. And for me, thinking about it compared to regular Big Brother, I think there's some similarities because my experience has been oscillating between being frustrated and being disappointed. And so as I bounce back and forth, you know,
that feels normal.
I'm glad it's a short season. You know, that's what I can say.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bit of a short season, but, you know, it's you know, only short on the calendar. felt like it's gone on and on. Asia, you know, it's been a minute since we heard from you. We're back on the round table. How have you been feeling these last couple of weeks?
I mean, anytime we thought something was going to happen, it didn't. So with that, it has just dragged on. And it's just like the writing is on the wall. We pretty much know what's going to happen. I mean, there's no chance nothing else happens. So it's just like, you know, I would just like to enjoy what we're watching. But then it's like, are we enjoying it?
Because debatable. You know,
debatable. Yeah. So it's just like, you know what? I'm just getting through it.
Okay. Well, we are going to go through this beat by beat. I want to make sure that we don't miss anything here along the way from our recap of the recap. We get everybody reacting to last night's family visits. Everybody very excited from seeing their loved ones. Anything notable here? No, right?
It was nice to see some faces to all the shout outs we keep hearing.
It's like they've been gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, they've been gone for 2 weeks. You know, they said in the intro that this was the announcer guy setting this episode up.
There's no better way to spend a Saturday night than with these famous faces.
I beg to disagree. With all due respect to the panel.
Rob, name one better thing. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And of course, you know, as we were saying a moment ago, here is Todd Bridges' feelings.
We've been here 24 days. I feel like I've been here like 10 years.
Yeah, that's relatable. That's relatable.
And he went to prison.
It's like literally same.
Okay. All right. The house guest, we flashed all the way back to day two. The house guest talked about meeting each other. Taryn, what a roller coaster ride it's been for Cynthia and Todd Bridges.
Truly. You know, she came in when she was such a big fan of him. And right away, he didn't know who she was. Didn't know her name. Couldn't remember her name. Did not get off to a good start.
Yeah. And it's so much worse than that because Asia, that apparently that they've had multiple interactions and meals.
Right. It made no sense. It's just like, that's why they say don't ever meet your celebrity crush. Mm-hmm. That's why I plan to never meet Drake. I'll be set.
But, you know, I think it would be a really cool experience for Britney Spears to scream at me on Celebrity Big Brother, right? Like, that's something that I could hold with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, if my celebrity crush called me a hood rat, I think I could die happy. You know, like, what a compliment. But my question to you, Rob, is have you ever been in the Cynthia position as someone who was a fan of the first 5 seasons of Survivor where you knew their name and they had known yours, but then, like, couldn't remember very well?
Does Boston Rob count? So this was wild. And Taryn, you know, they the producers shaded Chris Kattan so early on that he didn't know Teddy's name.
Here's the test. What's my name?
It's Cruella. Wait, I forgot.
Here's the trick, right? You have to just act like somebody that would remember names, because nobody thinks to ask me if I remember their name, so I never get in trouble.
Okay.
But so, I definitely don't remember people's names all the time.
So, yeah. So what do you, so act like you are not the type of person that would remember names?
It's like nobody would think to be like, here's a test, Taryn. What's my name? Mm-hmm. You know, like, cause, and then, you know, then it doesn't even matter. I'd just be like, hey, what's up?
Mm-hmm. If I ever make friends, in a moment and Nigel's like in the bathroom and he's coming over and I don't remember their names, I'll introduce him, but not anyone else. Like, this is my partner, Nigel. And then I'll listen intently as they shake each of his hands and re-say their name now. So mm-hmm. I think that's like a secret to use.
Yeah. I think Barney Stinson had a similar technique of like, have you met this person? Yeah. And then they will have to repeat their name. So yeah, Todd Bridges did not go to that school of thought. Okay. Todrick seemed like very indignant that couldn't believe that Todd Bridges wouldn't know Cynthia's name. Right?
Like, right. Does Todd Bridges strike you as someone who's sitting there watching Love and Hip Hop, Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't think Todrick can conceptualize anything that's happened before his birth. So I think that's why it's so hard for him.
Yeah. Todrick, I thought, got the worst of the recap of the recap tonight. This is like the first time I feel like that the producers kind of went in on Todrick.
Yeah, I mean, we finally, they even showed in the sort of like preview for the episode that we're going to see the line to Kirkpatrick about his son, which is definitely one of the more villainous things mm-hmm. he has done. Apart from that, though, I do feel like it was still pretty tame.
Pretty tame. Could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot worse if you've been on Twitter. Okay. Let's then reset this Chris Kirkpatrick versus Todrick saga. First we get an aside about how Justin Timberlake, what a talent.
Yeah. And the whole origin story of NSYNC. That's
mm-hmm. Got Burger King on McDonald's. Yeah, got Burger King on McDonald's.
So was Chris saying he founded right. NSYNC?
He said he was the founder, I guess. And now the guy who put together these bands, like that guy is we don't talk about that guy, right?
I mean, that guy apparently would be good on Big Brother because he got two different boy bands to feud and actually owned both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Like, that was the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he was sort of like the mastermind that put them all together.
Yeah. He probably did some other really nasty stuff, considering the tone of this conversation. So
yeah, I don't have all the facts in front of me, but I don't know. I get the impression the chat is telling me that he is passed. So maybe I don't know if we speak ill of the dead.
It definitely felt like we were being told a story that was missing a fair amount of detail. They were just going to give us what they could give us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's like, you know, it's just like if someone were to say someone else started Rob Has a Podcast, we know who started Rob Has a Podcast, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I mean, before this season, I would not have been able to tell you first and last name, Chris Kirkpatrick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we don't need to talk about that too much. Okay. There was a little bit of the last couple of nights of like, anybody that's like going to talk about a famous person. Okay. Put that in the show. Yeah. Justin Timberlake, that he is such a talent. Okay. Who knew? All right. So we go back to the NSYNC of it all, where Todrick, get this, was not in sync with Chris.
It's only the 10th time I've heard that this mm-hmm. season. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris Kirkpatrick offered some burnt coffee to Todrick. Todrick was refused. Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah, this is peak. This is peak Todrick being upset with Kirkpatrick, and it's also the day that Kirkpatrick is about to be voted out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In this episode, we saw a side of Chris Kirkpatrick that we never saw in the episode before, where very resigned to his fate.
Yeah. They usually don't like to show that bit in the episodes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, he knew he was going.
Okay. So they get into it. Hodrick says, we need to talk about the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is that, you know, Chris Kirkpatrick tries to say, like, I care about Hodrick, but Hodrick says, no, you turned on me. That's it. I can never forgive you. And Chris Kirkpatrick said that he was told Hodrick had come against him. Hodrick says, no, that was not the case.
There was no time you were gunning for me.
Ever, 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 not once. On my family, on Beyonce, on my mom, on everything that I love and care about.
Okay. On his family, on Beyonce, on his mom, on everything he cares about, Taryn. Okay. They did not flash back to any conversation prior to day 17. And so I legitimately don't know. Is Hodrick telling the truth, or does Beyonce have anything to worry about tonight?
Oh, well, first of all, Hodrick has no right, right? Hodrick has no right to put Beyonce's life on the line here. Mm-hmm. Since when does he lay claim to Beyonce? He really was, you know, thinking of working with Kirkpatrick. But that's because he was going after Carson, and primarily Carson, first. I think that there's a case to be made that he's telling the truth here.
Mm-hmm.
Given the way that he plays the game, that doesn't really mean much.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Beyonce Giselle Knowles Carter did not ask for this. She is just living her life. She didn't ask to be put into this promise that is false. Dodrick's going to pay for this.
But, you know, I really love the idea that, you know, if you're being sworn in to serve as a senator, instead of like the Bible or the Constitution, he would swear on like Beyonce herself as an oath.
Mm-hmm. On lemonade.
Yeah, I really like the idea of us doing that as we move forward as a society. You get to choose one musician that you can like that you can make your promise over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would have to like we'd Black Mirror it, right? Like if this is a false promise, then you know, just like in White Christmas, Beyonce is just blocked from Hodrick, right? Like,
oh, he doesn't get her anymore.
Beyonce, yeah. But Hodrick just sees a blank space and he can't hear her music. She's just gone.
Yeah,
I wonder who I would say I would swear what random celebrity I've never met. Maybe he's met Beyonce. That I'm not lying. Like I swear on Danielle Reyes, I did not lie on this thing.
I swear on Meta World Peace.
I swear on
Big Brother Super Fan. Yeah.
If only Carson knew about the get Hodrick to swear on Beyonce hack. That this whole season would have been much different. By the way. Taryn, I'm trying to remember. I'm drawing a blank. What was the name of the band that Beyonce, the group that Beyonce used to be in? Something, whatever child. What was it? Do you remember what it was?
Destiny.
Yes. That was it. Okay.
When you said I can't remember Taryn, what was the name of Beyonce's band? I was like, excuse me? You went to me on this panel?
Same.
I'm calling it a band. Like Kelly Rowland is like, you know that band I was in?
Okay. So Lamar, that Hodrick is you know, really not happy with Chris Kirkpatrick. He tells him that, you know, your son is not gonna approve of this.
And if your kid were to see that, he'd be like, Daddy, you turned on your team.
Don't you dare use that.
I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The lowest of the low. It's just like, why would you even go there? I mean, I know we were talking about that with Kylan last season, mm-hmm. but it's just like, why? There's no point. Just being petty.
Because Hodrick doesn't understand that. I mean, I feel like he'd be very hurt. If I was Chris Kirkpatrick, I would have said, well, you know, Beyonce's going to be very disappointed in you about the way you played this game. And he'd be like, don't you go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Worth reiterating that Kirkpatrick has 1 foot out the door at this point. Like, he is kicking the man when he is down. This is not like Kirkpatrick just betrayed Todrick and he's still reeling from the betrayal. This is, I got you, and now here's why you should be ashamed, and your son is ashamed, and everybody should be ashamed. Beyonce is ashamed of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Yvette goodbye message, essentially. It's just not a good idea.
Yeah.
Did any of you happen to see that there was a clip going around on Twitter where Julie Chen Moonves was interviewing Chris Kirkpatrick, and she was like being a little Jerry O'Connell about how, like, she's like talking about how she did not think that Todrick handled that well, and how Chris Kirkpatrick held himself with a lot of grace during his interaction with Todrick Hall.
There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, Julie Chen Moonves coming in, and, she's Team Chris Kirkpatrick. Okay.
Someone's coming for Claire's spot.
Yeah. All right. So this was there were some highs in this episode when Carson comes up with the idea of, I need to get on somebody's shoulders because I need to sort of reenact like the little rascals, like sneaking into a movie theater of wearing Lamar's robe on Todrick's shoulders. This was incredible.
Shout out to Melissa Denny with, you know, because she recently talked about,
she brought the Little Rascals back.
Little Rascals.
Yes. Yeah. she brought it back. How did this not make it on an episode?
I genuinely think that they have been saving some of these clips for this clip show all season long, which is part of why the episodes have been so boring.
Yeah.
Saving for the best Saturday night you can imagine.
Yes, yes. This was so funny where Carson came out and then also was talking about Lamar's gastrointestinal distress also.
Uh-oh, I had some milk. I had some dairy.
Honestly, this episode reminded me how entertaining Carson is. It's just like, okay, he was a terrible HOH. We mm-hmm. get that, right? Yeah. We know that.
Terrible
we
HOH.
We understand. But he is so entertaining and so enjoyable to watch. I enjoyed every part he was in this episode.
Yeah. He's so funny.
Kevin and I are big Drag Race fans. And so we were excited to see Carson on the cast when it was announced. And nothing could have prepared me for the idea that he would be cosplaying as Larry Bird at some point in the season, right? I mean, he is just nothing but star power and fun every time he's on screen. He's so charming. I don't care if he's bad at Big Brother. He brings me so much joy, and I am at peace with that. He is not here to give us gameplay. He is here to be looking in the mirror, to be primping,
to be on someone's shoulders.
Yeah. Love him.
Yeah. Carson really was him and Lamar, the two stars of the MVPs of the recap here tonight. All right. So let's go back to Lamar. We had a whole segment on Lamar doesn't really know the game. And Taryn, we got it all here in this segment.
We really did. I mean, various points of explanation for Lamar about like how the game works. But my favorite is definitely that he did not know that the diary rooms were going to be on TV. That he thought they were personal therapy sessions.
Yeah.
And we hear from him in the diary room.
Yeah.
I just love that the day before Tiffany Mitchell was like,
"Oh, hold on."
Yeah, he said,
I thought the diary room was just for, I guess, you guys to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just wanted to have
it. I thought we were just, you know, I thought we were just chatting here. I thought you just wanted to know. I thought you were curious about me. Yeah, as a
you
person.
Were really interested in me. This was just for some TV show.
I love that the day before that we found out that he did not know that these were going to be aired, Tiffany Mitchell tweeted, "Who is Lamar talking to in the diary room?" And I was like, you know what? Who is he? And you watch the diary rooms, he's just sitting there like looking at the floor and just talking.
Yeah.
Where I mean, everybody else
that
is
happened
so expressive.
When we were supposed to vote the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, he doesn't know who Julie is either. So that's probably very confusing to him.
Yeah. That when they talked about his interview with Julie, he said,
"Who's Julie?"
So this is going to be, I think, it should Lamar go out before finale night, like he's going to come out and be very confused. Who is this woman?
Yeah. I like to think every time he went to go vote, he was like, is it that same girl again? Like, mm-hmm. I had to see each time. Like, I thought we changed them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I do think he also brings up a very, you know, valid sort of high concept philosophical point on the structure of Big Brother here at the end, though, when he learns about the jury vote. He says,
there's no way losers should decide.
Yes.
Valid point.
You know, I think Lamar is onto something, because I think that so many of these reality shows that, you know, that were conceived around a certain time, it was like, came up with this idea. Well, how do we decide a winner? Oh, let the people that lost. Should Big Brother be more like Squid Game? Okay. You get it down to the last two and then you just figure it out. Right.
I support this as long as Todrick doesn't win that version of Squid Game. That's my that's my only indication here. But I love the idea of him calling all the jurors losers. And so I need Lamar to be in the final two now, and perhaps refer to them instead of like juror number one as loser number one. I could really get behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Losers should not decide who wins. Winners should. They should bring back the winners.
Right? Okay. All right. Ooh. So bring back the winners of the past celebrity seasons or all the seasons?
The Academy Awards.
Yeah.
General winners.
Just Marissa and Tamar.
Yeah.
You don't have to be related to the show. Just random winners.
Okay.
In life.
Yeah.
But, you know, Lamar is definitely going to be the most interesting person to have in the final two, right? Having Lamar trying to talk about the game that he played when he did not know how this game functioned for a large portion of it. I mean, I think you could technically argue that he's playing the best game for someone who does not understand the mechanics of when you can win a veto, when you're allowed to be eligible for HOH or not, right? It's navigated it pretty well with that kind of idea of the show. Yeah, the best game a savant could ever play. You know, it was really nice.
Yeah, I do think that, like, when we talk about, like, the game of celebrity Big Brother, like, I wonder if it's, like, different than, like, the regular game of Big Brother, where it's sort of like, who can get to the end with, like, the least blood on their hands? Is that going to be the person who wins the game?
I actually think there is, thinking like the past two winners, I think something about like authenticity and connecting with people is probably more important here than it is even the classic show.
Right.
And I actually am onto a theory here that, you know, Lamar didn't understand what the diary rooms were. He didn't understand what jurors are, but now he understands both. You see his like diary room about Todrick, about how he wants to like spend time with him and get to know him. He's very complimentary now in the diary room. And it's like, is he weaponizing the diary rooms now for the jurors' votes, knowing they will go home soon? And if so, he should win, right?
I mean, I think that this is more like a fourth dimensional conspiracy thinking than what he thought about the pyramids.
Right. Yeah. You know, he's onto something, maybe, I guess.
Yeah.
If he wins, the aliens are real, though, right?
Yeah. I think so. And he's also going to get back with Chloe, according to
absolutely
Jerry O'Connell. So, Lamar, how is he doing this? He tells us
spontaneity.
It's just he's playing this game with spontaneity.
Spontaneity.
Yeah. So
if that works for him, that works.
Yeah, it's an interesting portmanteau, spontaneity, because it combines two words, spontaneous, which is, you know, sort of like a random, you know, the just spur of the moment, and continuity, which is the same thing, you know, continuously, which is really a very interesting concept.
Which is how I would describe Celebrity Big Brother, as somehow random and not making much sense, but also the path that we've been taking the entire time.
Yeah, on over and over and over and over.
I feel like I'm studying for the SATs. Spontaneity, really, the word of the day.
Mm-hmm.
See, I thought the second word was ingenuity.
Oh, okay.
I think that's a very flattering way to look at it.
Right. Yeah.
Does Lamar know what the word continuity actually means? Like, is he familiar enough to make it a portmanteau?
Okay.
I think we need to ask Jacob Jones, because he's the expert on accidentally combining two words.
Yeah, that's very fair. So spontaneity would be that, you know, he's sort of like just inventing it on the fly.
Cleverly.
Spontaneously. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he's building the plane as it's in the air.
Exactly.
And that's the game he's playing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's learning on the go.
To be continually spontaneous.
Yes.
That's just being spontaneous, right? Like that's mm-hmm.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So let's keep going with Lamar, because we get That's a segment good. Where we find out that Todd Bridges tells us that his relatives actually were the Pharaohs. I mean, this is incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Willis?
Yeah. Not even as Egyptian descent, but of a descendant of the actual pharaohs of Egypt. I mean, this is incredible.
I'd be interested
like
in
a royal bloodline.
Where exactly that data came from? It's just a lot of
ancestry DNA.
Records
to
be yeah, 23 and me.
This is one of those things that like your sad uncle tells you is definitely true.
Mm-hmm.
That, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah. Like we're descended from kings. Pharaohs,
mm-hmm.
You know, all of it. We're a great bloodline.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So Todd is the descendant of Pharaohs, but Lamar is going to interject.
So you mean to tell me your people's a Pharaoh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were like connected with the aliens.
All right. Here we go.
That's the part. He was like, oh, so they knew the aliens.
Yes. The pharaohs are connected with the aliens.
Yes. I mean,
makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. I mean, he explains it.
I mean, if you do your history, the Egyptians here have a connection with interterrestrial life.
Okay. Now, this is new.
The sound effects.
The hum at the end is my favorite.
Yes. Okay. I think the pharaohs did have a lot of connection with interterrestrial life.
Yeah. I mean, do your history.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense. Now, here's the thing. I think that the history that he did was another sci-fi throwback. He watched Stargate.
Oh, I thought this was going to be another Sliders clip.
No, it's the Stargate theme. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that the pharaohs were connected to aliens because that's what Stargate SG-1 taught us.
But are we sure that the aliens just aren't the Greek or Roman Empire? Like, it's just like a different type of alien. It's just on the other side of the Mediterranean Sea.
I mean, technically, like, Lamar is correct,
yes.
Right? Because interterrestrial yes. is not extraterrestrial.
Yes, yes. We so all have a lot of contact.
They just are connected to
with the interterrestrial. Of the Earth. Yes. Yeah.
So that's why he's like, yeah. Do your history.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very fair. But, you know, so Lamar may have misspoke because I do believe he is talking about the extraterrestrial aliens because he can prove it.
How the hell they built the pyramids?
It's yep. called technology smart. They were smarter than we were.
They have no semen.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Todd makes a fair point. It's called technology smart. Okay. That's how they did it. Just like the same way you have a computer stove, Taryn.
Yeah.
The Egyptians, they had technology smart.
That's you know what, that's gonna be my explanation from now on. You do podcasts, how does that work? Oh, it's called technology smart, actually. That's how I do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are the types of conversations that are happening across millions of homes across the world, and people are just getting in arguments. Like, no, technology smart, no, they didn't have semen, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Look it up. Do your history.
Yeah. Celebrities are just like us.
They're just like us.
Except for the cleaning bit.
And this is all very fun. Like, at what point do people then, you know, turn on Lamar? When he goes and the Earth is flat too. Like, whoa, whoa, all right, hold on. Hold on a second.
I liked his reasoning, though.
I mean, you just have to believe there's so many planets. I would think that there's so much space that there might be, you know, different beings occupying that space.
I think a fair question is how many planets does Lamar actually know? I mean, it is very questionable.
There's so
here.
Many. You know.
Yeah. So,
so many planets.
I think he's also looking at a pretty big leap here because he's saying, like, think about it. There's a lot of planets out there. Aliens could be real. And that's why they were working very closely with the pharaohs.
Yes.
And that's why the nose is no longer on the Sphinx.
Yeah. Let's address that because this is a big tell. If you're looking for the evidence on this.
Tell me this thing, since you know it all, Todd.
Yeah.
Why'd they cut the noses off the Sphinx?
I don't know. That's some crazy.
Because it exposed the aliens.
Yeah. Why? This is a good question that nobody talks about. Why did they cut the nose off the Sphinx?
I know the answer to this, Rob.
Yes.
They cut the nose off the Sphinx because, like Todd, they snored too loud. And it's the only way to get it to stop.
Stop it.
Yes. Yes.
Literally, all Todd has to do is turn on his side and he would stop snoring.
I love this. Lamar. All right, Mr. Smart Technology.
Mr. Know-it-all.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about this? Why'd they cut the nose off the Sphinx? Why? Because they would expose the... Was he saying that the Sphinx could smell out the
aliens? Oh, I wasn't even thinking that.
Aliens, and so they had to cut its nose off so that it wouldn't expose them for the aliens that they were.
And is he saying that the nose would give it away that they were aliens because the nose would look too different?
Maybe.
But we would not question a Sphinx is not a person, right?
Yeah, maybe like they gave it, like the nose it had, like was the like stereotypical like alien nose, and then like cut that off, they're gonna know.
Well, isn't the stereotypical alien nose not a nose anyway? Maybe that's what he was saying.
I don't know. But... Look, if aliens are out there and we could tell like that when aliens work on things, they don't have a nose. I'm just trying to think, is there anybody else that might not have a nose?
My nose is only 7, I wanted to tell her.
Is it possible Carson was involved?
Known to disguise himself as taller people with multiple beings inside of one coat.
You know.
Can't move his eyebrows.
The whole premise of Queer Eye is that they come in and they sort of like rearrange things to make it look like very, very nice. Like, is it possible that maybe it's where they got started?
Rob, I'm sorry. I was not expecting that. Gold.
I don't know.
Oh, God. But,
I mean, I think that we should be looking at those, you know, ancient Egyptian like images again and just to make sure that we are checking for any Carson resemblances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, does Carson look like the Sphinx?
Yeah. Maybe you should watch some Stargate SG-1, see if he shows up.
Okay. All right. So
old.
That was the alien segment. So you know, you get the sense the
Person,
big
we're talking about Big Brother, by the way.
Right.
That was our alien segment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you get the sense that the Big Brother production crew, very skeptical, because Asia, we really then went in on Shayna and her crystals.
Yes. I was like, why are y'all trying to prove that her crystals were wrong by big fat X?
Yeah.
It's like, what? Come on.
Yeah.
And they needed 4 different instances to really make you believe that the crystal was not working.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think there's going to be some angry crystal heads out there with Big Brother dragging the whole crystal lifestyle.
Is it dragging if they're just be like, these are the predictions and these are
the sound
like, that's
of
not really dragging, right?
They didn't have to point that out, Taryn.
They didn't have to show what happened. They could have just left it ambiguous.
It was just a form of fact checking, by the way, and that's important in this age of democracy. And I wish they did that when Lamar was talking about the aliens. They could have the X's and they cut to like an expert somewhere talking about the pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
Look, History Channel.
Her crystals make her feel good, okay? And if she in the moment wanted to make these predictions and they didn't pan out, they didn't pan out.
Yeah.
But Big Brother did not have to point those out and prove her crystal wrong, because now it's just bringing some negative energy
right.
to her crystal.
Right, right. So
maybe it needs the negative energy. Maybe that helps it work better.
Can I make an admission on this podcast? So
please,
it's a safe space.
Okay, thank you. My lovely wife Nicole, like, she has the thing. Okay, she has the Shayna like pendulum thing, and you know, has used it to make to ask a question. You ask a question to the universe and get an answer. And it is a faux pas. Then go back to like what the pendulum said, if said thing doesn't happen. Let me just tell you, like, that it is not appreciated.
Well, Rob, when you're doing that, are you making the giant like buzzer noise?
No, yeah, I wouldn't be alive today if that was the case.
Did Shayna give these to her? Did Shayna give these to Nicole at Cheesecake Factory?
No, I don't think they bonded over that.
Okay.
They bonded over that. But yeah, they really cool. dragged her for the whole crystal segment.
Yeah. Well, Rob, Lamar provided you with a sound clip. If you didn't get it, I'll make sure to send it to you that you can play this for Nicole, the next time, anytime that, crystal gets it wrong.
Here's a question for you guys.
Yes. Yes.
Should the show start doing this every time someone is wrong about something? Just like in regular Big Brother, they're like, I swear I never said that about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob, how would you have felt if they did that sound effect when you use the magic eight ball in the Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is Heidi coming home with me tonight? And then they would just cut somewhere and put the noise.
Yeah. I don't know. Did it ever say yes to that question? Because then definitely played the sound effect. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think I was pretty clear, like, I guess, like, in my head, that it's for entertainment purposes only, Magic 8-Ball. It's on the box. Yeah. Okay. So, now Big Brother said, okay, Shayna, she can't, like, her crystals are, that's, you know, that's junk science. But check out this segment about levitating. Okay? This is real. This is real, people. Because that she went to the place where, you know, you find out how to, you know, do all sorts of illusions.
Okay. So one of my favorite party tricks that I learned at the Playboy Mansion was how to levitate people.
Okay.
That feels like the last thing you learn at the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah.
But I'm glad she learned something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this was, I mean, my son was like, oh, dad, how did that work? I'm like, I don't have an answer.
I'm pretty sure you just, Shayna just didn't lift the first time. And without her lifting, it's significantly more difficult.
She didn't help. You think that's what the trick is? Yeah.
Playing both sides, you know, she's just a tricky witch, and
she
that's why they got rid of her. They can't trust anyone with that type of power.
Yeah, so,
typical Shayna.
Yeah, so you think that this was sort of like the modern day, like Salem, Massachusetts, where like that Shayna had demonstrated her witch powers in the house, and then once it came down to like, who can't we trust? The witch. Yeah. Burn her.
But did she prove that she had powers? Because we kept getting the buzzer noise every time she made a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're wrong, the buzzer will happen. But if you are a witch, she'll just die. You know, it's like,
either way, it's, good riddance. It didn't matter.
No, if you are a witch, the alarm goes off, and that's.
Goody Cynthia has accused her of witchcraft, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I've heard this thing works. Like, I know it's psychological. But I've heard it actually works. Like, you do it the second time after you stack the hands, and you can just easily lift the person. I've heard it works. I've never tried it myself.
Yeah, but I guess we're going to get to the bottom of this. Maybe, like, if we get the chance to talk to Shayna, or maybe if there's somebody else. Is that part of, like, the Magician's Guild? You can't reveal this?
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. We should ask the crystal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how did she do it? You can only ask yes or no questions. Okay. All right. So we go from that to the Carson Diary Room segment.
Loved it.
This was very fun.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Seems like you have to load Carson up with white wine and send him into the diary room.
They should do that with every person, right? Like why? Everyone should get a glass of wine when they go to the diary room.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite bit from here was they had a clip from, I would imagine, you know, when Mon Juan was introduced and then post Mon Juan twist where he went,
God, I adore Mon Juan. Damn you, Mon Juan.
Was that when he was upside down?
No, that was later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like the best part of the season was the producers giving Carson a bunch of wine and then sending him into the diary room.
It's not his wine, it's his medicine.
Yeah, mommy needs medicine. Yeah, but that was great. The problem is that not everybody's a fun drunk, I guess. You know,
right.
Misha can't even have an M&M. Forget about a glass of wine. So, okay. So we get, I can't believe that this, where we get another segment on Mariah's tough life. I mean, this is, has to be at least the third segment we've had in this season about how boy, Mariah had it so tough. She lived in an RV for 2 years. Like, okay.
Is it Mariah or Misha?
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, Misha. I'm sorry. I
crossed wires.
I crossed my wires, yeah. He said, Mariah said we're so old in my notes, and then I was reading the line above.
Mariah was in Misha, an RV Misha, for years. Misha. This is terrifying.
Sorry.
What is this story? And she's a bronze medalist after all of that? She should have won all
of
the money.
It's been a long night. It's been a long night. Okay. Yeah, Misha. Oh, my God. That she was had to live in the RV for 2 years.
Mm. Well, you know, they just need to help pad out some background if she ends up being our winner, you know?
Right.
I guess so. Yeah.
I do think that, like, this is the kind of thing that I do think because there's one, the previous times we've seen this is her kind of saying it in the diary room and telling her story in pieces to people. But this was like sort of a back and forth between her and Kirkpatrick. And Kirkpatrick also opened up about his time living in like a shack.
In a car. Yeah.
It's clear they bonded over this to some degree. And that's, it helps explain the relationship that they had, I think, in the game, which didn't make a lot of sense beyond the fact that he seemed enamored by her as a fan. But there were like personal things that they were able to connect on. And this is the sort of thing that I would like to see in regular episodes to help explain the strategic relationships.
Yeah. It's just like, a weird fit, like where we're seeing like the wacky and then also like, okay, Misha had a tough couple of years in the RV. So did Chris. And he did learn one lesson that never to do this in the RV.
I gotta poop.
Yeah. Not in the RV. Never in the RV.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm not challenging her experience by any means, but I used to always have a desire to try out an RV. So I'm sure only
that's right. That's a fair point. Like people long to buy an RV and tour the country.
Yeah.
Misha's coming out against big RV, you know, I appreciate the story, but I'm also really agreeing with Taryn here. It'd been really nice to see that in the episode proper, because I think Celebrity Big Brother has just moved so quickly. It's confusing to keep track of the relationships, and a simple segment about economic insecurity would be a really easy way to tell that. But that was also like 3 weeks ago, so I can't keep track anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we then set up a segment where Lamar talks about how it's kind of like a locker room here.
Shooting the sugar
with people. But that sets up then a segment where Lamar is going to talk about his time with Kobe Bryant.
You know, this was a segment that I really appreciated watching, because I think that of all the celebrities here, we've really seen a lot of vulnerability from Lamar. And I think it's really allowed me to connect with him in a way that I don't think I connected with a lot of the other celebrities here. I just think that it's nice to be able to feel like we're getting to know them even more. It's kind of going back to what Taryn had said about just getting those opportunities to get to know your cast a little bit more along the way. So I'm glad that we still got the segment.
And, you know, just to kind of piggyback off what Nigel said is that I think there's a reason why Lamar has a higher win equity in my eyes. Fact check me if you like, than like Todrick does, in the sense that I think being vulnerable helps with that. And Lamar is just so vulnerable where like Todrick feels like he's doing shtick at times. So I thought it was a really nice segment. It was really cool to explore that with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lamar had known Kobe since he was 15. And, you know, obviously everybody remembers where they were the day when Kobe passed away. So, you know, interesting to hear Lamar talking about that. All right. We go from that to cleaning the house. Celebrities, they're just like us.
I enjoyed this segment.
Yeah.
My favorite part was watching Todd try to put a trash bag in the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And why could he do it?
Yeah.
Like, does his stars shine so bright at this moment in time that he does not put in trash bags Asia, at home?
He comes from pharaohs. You think the pharaohs have that in their blood to replace the garbage bag?
Garbage bags? That's technology smart. That's technology smart.
What happened with Cynthia's gloves? Cynthia wears gloves.
Oh, man.
I think I zoned out for a second. Did somebody throw out her gloves?
She used the gloves to clean various toilet things.
Yes.
You know? And they were toilet gloves.
Everybody's
got toilet gloves.
TG, yep.
Everybody knows what toilet gloves are. Everybody knows you never use the toilet gloves for anything other than the toilet.
Right.
But Kirkpatrick did not get that memo. And he was like, they were gloves in the toilet? I don't know. I just thought they were regular gloves. And so he decided to take the toilet gloves and move them into the kitchen and use them as kitchen gloves and feeling himself up gloves. And this was no good.
Feeling himself up gloves?
He said, I was using them, you know, for sink stuff. And then when they show the footage, it's just him touching his chest.
Yeah.
It could have been like a really good Shannon Hardy throwback to the toothbrush in the toilet. Just like, here, Todrick, here's some gloves I got from you in the back.
And it's just like when did this happen? And have we eaten off these dishes?
Absolutely. Probably, right? Absolutely.
I'd vote him out very quickly for that. Mm-hmm. That's like a very personal reason to get rid of someone.
Yeah.
It just seems like if you are using gloves exclusively for the toilet, this is a PSA. You need to go around and make sure everyone has an understanding that this is what they're for. Not just, someone's going to assume because they're in the toilet, that's what they're for.
If there are gloves in the toilet, you know what those gloves are for. There's no other reason for gloves to be in the toilet. Nobody's in the toilet like, you know what? I got to get some cleaning gloves to warm up my hands while I'm toileting. Mm-hmm. Let me just use these hand-warming toilet gloves for dishes. Like, come on.
Chris Kirkpatrick just looked over and was like, who put the kitchen gloves in the bathroom? Why do we keep it over here?
You can't assume what people will assume.
Mm-hmm.
I would never take they were used gloves in the first place. I would never take gloves that were used, especially by somebody else, and be like, these are fine for dishes.
He's being sustainable, Taryn. It's good for the environment, but not for your health.
And Mariah knows that they're not pro environment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes me so sad
when he uses toilet gloves. Okay. Let's go to the diary room. Is that what's next? The diary room segment? No. We get a Todd snoring segment.
Yeah. We haven't had enough of them
yet. Yeah. Yeah, I thought Chris Kattan was noticeably absent in the episode up until this point, but they got him in there to talk about Todd snoring. He's like a T-Rex, so this is a little bit of an expanded segment that we saw from the season. And yeah, Asia, Todd does not believe in side sleeping.
No, not at all. I think he has no interest in stopping the snoring, or else he would wake up and say, guys, I'm sorry. I'll turn to my side. I just loved Chris Kattan walking across the room, trying to wake him up. Just like, hey, bud, you're snoring. Goes back to bed.
I couldn't follow. What was Chris Kattan saying? Does Todd have a significant other?
Well, yeah. I mean, how could she possibly mm-hmm. ever sleep?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I think people get used to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get used to it.
I always turn Nigel
like
over
white noise.
When Nigel's snoring too loud, I just turn him to his side as well. But I think it'd be weird for Chris Kattan to do that.
Chris Kattan was like a child at a sleepover who, needs to, he sneaks over and like grabs Todd's foot, like squeeze it. And Todd like wakes up for a second and then he quickly like tiptoes back to his bed before Todd can notice that it was him that did it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, aha, success. He'll never know it was me. But before he's able to get back into bed, Todd has fallen back asleep and he's snoring again. He's like, no.
Cause it's like, okay, what's Chris Kattan going to say? He's going to go over there, grab his foot and be like, hey babe, you're snoring.
You chuck a pillow, you grab a foot, and then you just pretend you're asleep. Whatever you need to do, you just wake him up and you hope that it resets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's like if you just do your natural sleepover revenge, which is getting the warm water and
warm
the
water
in it. Yeah. Why hasn't that happened yet on Big Brother yet? It feels like with the immaturity, it should happen eventually.
Mm-hmm. I think it did. Warm milk and something else.
So that, yeah, that's why they need that computer stove to heat up the water for the pranks. I love the pranks. Okay.
So
go ahead.
I have a question about Chris Kattan's plan here. He's squeezing the foot to wake up Todd in the hopes that he is like woken up enough and will stop snoring and sneak away without getting caught. But in this plan, isn't Todd going to be kind of freaked out about why someone was grabbing him and suddenly there's like nobody around?
Mm-hmm. That's a Todd problem. That's not a Kattan problem. Guys, is this house haunted? I feel like I was having a dream and somebody was like grabbing my feet and then I woke up and I was nobody was there. It was just weird. Mm-hmm. Chris Kattan would be like, yeah, I don't know.
Lamar would probably say, oh, it was aliens or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chris Kattan would say, I was just in the kitchen eating cake. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I just got back in here. Okay. In the diary room segment, and this is always fun. They've been doing this for a while now on the regular Big Brother recap of the recap. I had a couple of interesting moments. Chris Kattan was back to talk about something that I didn't know was necessarily part of the Celebrity Big Brother house, but he mentions.
Bidet's the big talk, by the way, here so far, because it's a. I don't know if you know, but the toilet is magnificent.
Magnificent.
Magnificent toilet. That's not what Cynthia said. Yeah.
This is wild because Jacob and I talked about bidets just this morning. And he was trying to be all down on bidets, but make sure I just want everyone to clip this moment in the podcast and send it to Jacob Jones on Twitter because our boy Chris Kattan, he said,
I'm not a bidet kind of guy, but I just kind of wish I was. Maybe I will become a bidet kind of person.
Jacob Jones.
Yeah.
Your response.
What did Jacob say? Is he a bidet kind of guy or not a bidet kind of guy?
He's not a bidet kind of guy.
Yeah.
I keep telling him you gotta bidet up.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't know. Yeah, there you do become a bidet person once you own a bidet and then mm-hmm. you realize how did I live in a world without a bidet?
See, you know, that's what I thought, Asia, but then I said, eh. But I didn't think it was all cracked up to be. I think it got overhyped.
No,
I mean, this is, I don't understand. This is not like, oh, you know, it's gonna like do wonderful things. This will get you to base level. If you're not using a bidet, then you are below the base level of civilization. and you are not doing it right.
Okay.
Bidets are tough. That's technology smart. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If the bidet was that good, Chris Kattan would have not walked.
For a magnificent toilet.
He waited that long. The reason he bounced was because he finally was able to get a confirmation that the bidet was installed at his house.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. Now that I own a bidet, I can't go back. So, mm-hmm. yeah, Chris Kattan definitely has a bidet in his home now.
Yes. Okay. I mean, that's how they get you on the Big Brother house. They have an endorsement deal. Okay. Mariah, who was noticeably absent from the episode. The only time we see her is here in this segment, and we see her first crying about how she says she's having a wonderful day as she's holding back tears. And then we see her very sad because of this fact.
They literally don't even care about the environment, and that makes me so sad.
Who?
All of them.
All of them literally don't care about the environment?
Yeah, did you see what Lamar did to the bed?
I guess so. I bet it's natural.
No regard for that environment.
Mm-hmm. Are they not recycling? Like, what are they not doing?
I mean, yeah, maybe that was Todd with the garbage bag. He said, screw it.
It's because they're all so much older.
Yeah.
They don't have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's younger generationers.
Yeah. That's what she meant completely in her moment. She was like, they're all old and you all don't recycle, so I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And literally, they don't even care about the environment. It's terrible. Okay. And that's all we get from Mirai.
It was really weird because what is the message of Mirai that they want us to walk away from this episode with?
That she cares about the environment.
Mm-hmm. And these other people don't.
And is always crying in the diary room.
And is very sad.
And that's it. I feel like the message they were trying to tell us is that Mirai's a bit of a bummer. You know, like, I'm just not... I was like, maybe a fun segment could have been nice for her.
I get the sense that that was a production's takeaway.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah. Okay. Has anybody else commented on the state of recycling in the Big Brother house, Taryn? Has this come up in past seasons?
I don't think so.
Not even BB16 Joey had this many issues with environmentalism, I'm telling you.
Okay. So maybe something to watch going forward. Okay. And they have so many relationships and bonds. We get one more segment of Lamar and Todrick. So Lamar calls Todrick Boo Stinker, which I think some people on Twitter have called Todrick the same thing.
This was upsetting to me because it was at the very end of the episode and I was like, oh, yes, a Lamar and Todrick segment.
Yes.
We're going to get the cards. And... They gave us the opposite of the cards.
They love each other.
They gave us this like weird, like, oh yeah, we definitely love each other. No, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah,
not true.
Right.
No. Well,
I really enjoyed this segment because I hope that I can run into Lamar at the gay club.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But not Todrick. Please show us different cards. That's my one request.
Yeah, so
that's what happens when you see Todrick.
Yeah, he would even go to his performance. Maybe he'll run into Jerry O'Connell.
I just loved his review of Todrick. He's handsome. He smells mm-hmm. good. I'm like, hey, you mm-hmm. know, maybe Todrick is a catch when you're sitting in front of him and outside of the Big Brother game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Those two things go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sure.
Are they on Lamar's list? I wonder.
Going back to Lamar from the diary room segment, I thought this was an odd comment that Lamar made in the diary room.
Are those fingernails?
Oh, this was my favorite part of the whole episode this whole thing because it started with the socks.
Yes.
It started with Todd has a hole in his sock.
Todd has a hole in his sock. Yeah.
And it went,
you know, once a hole's in the sock, it ain't no good. You know what I mean? What good is it?
Tosses it in the corner.
Whose sock is that?
It's still in the corner.
Mm-hmm. Gotta be Todd's.
Yeah.
Did Todd leave one of his socks in here?
Still in the corner.
Are those fingernails?
Yes. Okay. So the Lamar fingernails in the diary room. Now, this possibly can't be after... his vote
1,000%
from the wrong. Other night.
Oh yeah.
When
that's
he,
exactly what they are.
So he bit his own fingernails and threw them on the floor in the diary room and then came in later and was like, this place is disgusting. What is that? Fingernails on the ground?
Yes.
There's no way on earth he remember. Cause I watched that in detail. He sets it on the chair. He sets the fingernail on the chair. And then before he leaves, he takes it off the chair and throws it on the floor. Yeah.
I agree with Asia, because if this was Lamar reacting to his own fingernails, I think Big Brother producers would have like done like flashback to Lamar throwing his own fingernails on the ground, and then like I think they would have like called it out.
I think we all remember. I think we all know what he means when he says fingernails. Hmm.
You know, Rob, I was going to say that I think production trusts the audience enough to put it together. And as soon as I thought that, I was like, this is ridiculous. I can't believe I thought that to myself. Okay. Trusting the audience.
We have to go back to this footage from Lamar's vote the other night and make sure if he picked up the fingernails.
I mean, the fact that Todd's sock, I mean, can we talk about this? Because sure. Todd, I was like, oh, he got a hole in his sock. That's no good. You can't wear a sock with a hole in it. And he was like, yeah, once a sock gets a hole in it, it's no good anymore. You get rid of it. And apparently getting rid of socks for Todd is the same as putting a trash.
He doesn't believe in the trash cans. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what we're talking about.
I don't even care about the environment. Yes. That makes me so sad.
Yeah.
And then it stays there for multiple people coming in and they notice the sock in the corner and they're just like, ew, somebody left a sock in here. Guess I'm just leaving it too. Not that I would pick up the sock, mind you. And then apparently the same thing happens with fingernails.
So this leaves the question, does production ever clean that room?
No.
No. Clearly not.
You would think they could get like a Roomba to come in.
They're like, well, that's where the contestants go. So they should be vacuuming in there or something.
Okay. So that was most of the recap. They come out and they have a toast. Cynthia leads the toast.
Cheers to the final five, but there's a lot more game to play.
Is there, Cynthia?
Literally what I said when I heard her say that. I was like, Cynthia, we have 3 days left max, like, of real gameplay. Mm-hmm. Y'all aren't doing anything elsewise. Like, otherwise, are you even playing? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. We could wrap this season up by noon tomorrow if we wanted to. Come on.
I mean, give us a coin to flip and we're solid in like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, do they have a coin?
They have a crystal. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to use.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's the recap of the recap. That's it.
We did it.
Yeah.
We did it.
Okay. Todrick's not taking his eye off the ball. He's ready to go.
I just loved, my favorite part was Cynthia pointing out that she wanted a whole bottle of wine for herself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they gave them five, let one be for her, four be for everyone
her wine
else.
In particular.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Her brand. I mean, she is the queen of empires.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Believe it or not, we have some questions from the audience. I can't imagine what they had to ask. But we gave them the chance, and here they are. Okay, here are some questions from our viewing audience here tonight. Incredible. 1,600 people wanted to they either watch this episode and said, I got to hear a podcast about this, or just skip the episode and came right to us, which I think was probably the better call.
Right.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Paul Wright says, in his exit press, Carson seemed to acknowledge his error in nominating / evicting Shayna rather than Misha. Do you think Cynthia feels the same way now? Taryn, from what you've seen in the house, does Cynthia seem to have experienced any remorse? We heard Carson last night say that on Friday, he finally realized that he thought that they made the wrong decision.
They did come together on Friday and come to the realization that maybe strategically it wasn't the right thing, but morally it still was the right thing. And mm-hmm. that is definitely where Cynthia still stands.
Yeah. Asia?
Ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And she's not going to realize it until she gets out. And then it may be a situation where she's still trying to justify. Well, she was still playing both sides. So we did what was right mm-hmm. in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know that Cynthia will be as quick to jump right off the ship as Carson was.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a question from Wheelie Girl. Was there anything they missed? Why no Lamar tearing up Todrick's cards? Okay. All right. So we've talked that one to death. Taryn, is there anything else that you've seen over the last 3 weeks on the feeds that you think was a big oversight that they didn't have in this show?
I mean, I still feel like there's an argument between Misha and Todd about, she said, Todd, you say that women talk so much, but you talk more than anyone in this house. And he was like, what? That's not true. I don't talk more than Todrick talks the most. She said, no, you talk even more than Todrick. And Todd was like, how dare you? Todrick talks more than anybody. And they got into a whole argument about it, and I don't know why they're not showing it. It's perfectly episode worthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe they still look. We still have what 5 hours of the season left.
It might come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me see. So it might only be 4 hours of the season, right? I think it was only 1 hour on Wednesday.
I think so.
Yeah, so 1 hour tomorrow, two on Monday, one on Wednesday. Okay, all right.
That's wild. They're gonna have the finale as 1 hour after having right. multiple 2 hours. Right. Okay.
Okay. Orwell wants to know: did Todrick sleep in the same room with Carson, Cynthia, and Shane at the beginning of the game? There's a shot of him in the bed. When did he move out? No.
He was in that alliance with them early on.
Yes.
But I believe he was always in that hallway.
Okay. All right. And finally, Jerry O'Connell wants to know.
Big Brother fan.
Yes. Is witchcraft a viable strategy? Should it be allowed in the Big Brother game? Kevin and Nigel, what do you think? Should they allow witchcraft?
I think if more of these contestants had based their strategy in witchcraft, I think the gameplay would have improved.
Yeah,
honestly,
the Salem witch trials was more efficient and effective than the gameplay in this house. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Now, Taryn, we have had Wiccans in Big Brother North America before.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
So, I don't know.
Johnny did pretty well.
Yeah. I think it's I'll allow it. I think it's valid.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, we just watched it happen. I mean, Shayna. The thing is, there's a natural
Shayna. Yeah.
That's the problem is that witches historically have not exactly fared well. So mm-hmm. I don't know how much it's going to help.
Yeah. Okay. And actually, we do have one more question. Todrick's ego wants to know. Misha has been having a lot of emotional content and had one of the only emotional messages from home. She's also a mom with young kids. Will this come into play when people are voting for the winner like it did in season one with Marissa? I mean, I just think that up against Todrick, I don't think it's going to play a factor. But is this something that maybe from the editors they really want to drive home? Like because Misha gives us nothing personality wise. It's like, well, at least she's a mom.
Yep.
It's a feel-good like story.
Against everyone else, everyone else besides Todrick is a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's plenty of reasons to vote for her over Todrick besides the fact that she's a parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they recognize that she's the most likely winner at this point, and so they're just kind of doing what they can to be like, hey, there's some good stuff.
I guess so. I mean, just like of the 11 people in the house, I mean, she is just the blandest personality by far of this group.
I think her face tends to move less than Carson's, and he mm-hmm. says that his isn't even capable of moving. Mm-hmm. So I think that's impressive, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I mean, she's a very successful person and has like, a nice family, but I'm just saying in terms of like, what does everybody want? Good TV.
Rob, I'd be careful calling somebody boring.
That's true. I have gotten myself into trouble in the past.
Especially I feel like Misha don't want to make her upset.
Okay. All right. Good.
We'll see what she's capable of.
Good point. Okay. Anything else about tonight's Big Brother 23 or sorry, Celebrity Big Brother or the season at large?
I think that I got exhausted just watching Misha work out tonight.
Yeah. It was
insane.
Mm-hmm.
To comment on the last question, yes, like Rob, I agree. I don't think Misha being a mother is going to be the reason why Todrick would lose to her in the final two. I think it's what he will say is the reason why he lost in the final two. But that's my final thoughts.
Okay.
I'm just glad we are almost to the end of the season, actually. Mm-hmm. And Big Brother Canada is soon.
Yes.
So that makes me excited.
Yes. Okay. Right around the corner. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up here because we still have
some spoilers.
Oh, my God. I'm so not used to any sort of news in the Big Brother house. Why don't we go ahead and hit the button and do some spoilers here from the Big Brother live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. Spilled a drink on my desk yesterday. The buzzer is wet. Not good. Not a good situation. Okay.
That makes me so sad.
Yes. Okay.
Rob, you just don't care about the environment.
I don't care about the environment. I could use the gloves to clean my desk yesterday. All right. Taryn, what do you have for us?
Well, first of all, we have not yet seen the HOH competition that is going to occur tomorrow in tomorrow night's episode. The HOH winner is Todrick.
Oh my God, I'm so happy for you. You did great.
Mm-hmm. You're amazing.
Do we know what the comp was?
It was a Spot the Difference competition.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Todrick, his target is Todd. He nominated Todd and Lamar. And the feeds came back from the veto competition during this podcast.
Yes.
Also have veto results. And the veto winner is missing a sock. It's Todd.
Oh, no.
Veto. So that means that Todd is safe this week. And Lamar is probably going to be leaving here in fifth place.
Oh, this is terrible.
My question is Todd safe this week or is he not going to use the veto because he doesn't want Cynthia to go on the block?
They may try, but yeah. I, you know, he is technology smart and I'm not sure that he would fall.
Okay. So then we will see Todd come down. Cynthia will go up and then it will be then Misha and Todd voting and presumably it'll either be 2-0 or 1-1, but we'll see Todrick break the tie and vote out Lamar.
Yes. I believe I saw Todrick and Misha talking about we'll ask Cynthia, hey, do you want to stay? Because if you want to stay, then we'll vote out Lamar. And if you don't, then maybe they won't. But but I expect Cynthia to say, yeah, I want to stay. And even if she doesn't, I expect them to be like, whatever. Anyway, we're just going to vote out Lamar because he's a bigger threat theoretically. Although maybe he's not at this point. Who knows?
I mean, if there's quizzes coming up, I wouldn't be too worried about Lamar. Maybe they could talk themselves into that.
Right. But either way, that means that that Todd is going to stay here into the final four and is likely their biggest threat heading into the their goal of hitting the final two together.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a bit of a hiccup. If they had just beaten Todd in this veto, I think it basically would have been game over. But they now have to contend. They have to beat Todd twice in the final four if they want him out before the final three.
And this is what Jerry O'Connell is talking about. Pink Elastics' Celebrity Big Brother is so unpredictable. The fans are not liking it.
Mm. Yes, Aman says in the chat, looks like it's a showdown between Taryn and Aman. Yeah, mm-hmm. Aman, Todd and Cynthia, and me with Todrick and Misha.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of people rooting for Aman on that one.
Right.
No offense to Taryn. Okay. Anything else worth noting here?
That's about it.
Yeah. Okay. Any reactions to any of that, Asia, Kevin, Nigel?
It's something. At least Todrick's not getting what he wanted. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be one of them leaving. It's not going to be Misha.
So just to talk through the next couple of nights. So we'll see the HOH. We'll see what nominations all in the Sunday episode. And then on Monday night, the first hour will be getting, we'll get the veto, and then we will get the live eviction of presumably Lamar, followed by the full hour of double eviction coming up in the second hour.
Yeah, I think that'll be about it. Yeah.
Okay. It should be a jam-packed Monday night episode starting a little bit later, but let's tell you about what's coming up before then. All right. So tomorrow morning, Taryn is solo to get you started on a Big Brother Sunday. So that should be fun. And of course, the guest is you on the solo update.
That's true.
You're the listener. I'm breaking the fourth wall.
Come and join me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Then on Sunday night, okay, Amon can talk about his draft team here in person here as Amon, Liana, join Taryn and I. Sunday night, we'll be live after a one-hour episode of Big Brother coming up. We'll be live at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time coming up on Sunday. Then on Monday night, okay, it will be, yeah, a lot of spontaneity on Monday night as we will have Jacob Jones join us along with Big Brother 23's Claire to talk about double eviction, baby.
So many questions to answer in that podcast. You know, like, will Jacob Jones have gotten a bidet by that point? Has Chris Kirkpatrick outgraced Claire? You know, spontaneity. Is it spontaneity or is it spontaneity? Jacob Jones will let us know. And, you know, all that and more.
Okay. Coming up Monday night. Okay. And again, that is going to be a late night. That is a big 2-hour episode starting at 9 p.m. I don't know what CBS has on at 8 o'clock to do a 2-hour episode at 9. So we'll be live at 11:15 p.m. Eastern time coming up on Monday. All right. Survivor 42 is around the corner. Lots of commercials for Survivor 42 during Big Brother. Talk about the Taku tribe with Mike Bloom. Check that out up on robswebsite.com and in our Survivor podcast feed to hear from these six members of the Taku tribe. Christian Hubicki joined me this week to for another round of Ask Dr. Hubicki. Talked about Survivor science. We didn't get into the aliens and the Sphinx in this one. Maybe in Ask Dr. Hubicki 4, we can get into all of the mystery surrounding the pyramids and the relationships of the aliens to the pharaohs coming up in the next edition. But until then, you'll only have to listen to 3 hours of questions with Dr. Christian Hubicki. Okay. Joe Millionaire. Boy, we had a lot of fun on Joe Millionaire this week. I thought it was maybe the best Joe Millionaire recap of the season with Jenny Autumn as we met the parents of many of the contestants on Joe Millionaire. Any Joe Millionaire watchers here? Have you seen it? Boy.
I know I would love it. I just haven't found the time to
watch
it.
You could just jump right into the podcast for Joe Millionaire. For Perfect. Richer or poorer. Okay. Check that out up at robswebsite.com. The weekly wrap up just dropped today. Highlights of the last week of podcasts. You'll want to check that out and hear about everything that we had going on this past week here on RHAP, sent in by the listeners of Rob's website. And then we also, I'm about to drop right after this podcast. Okay. For any millennials that are out there, Millennials Boot Camp. Okay. Want to know what the young people are saying so you don't feel too chuggy, if I may? You're going to want to listen to Phil T joining us on Millennials Boot Camp here on Robin Akiva Anita podcast coming out later tonight. There you go.
Can't wait.
Taryn, Bryce Isaiah was on the Taryn Show.
Yes. Make sure you check out Bryce on the Taryn Show. It was a good time.
Okay, check that out. And then We had over on Love Is Blind. Is this already up? Is this or is this ready
no,
to go?
Not yet.
Recording
not
yet. Tomorrow. Yet. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Who is in store for us on Love Is Blind week two?
Yeah. So we're going to have my Married at First Sight co-host, Jason Reed. And then we're also going to have Isaiah Goins. And I'm just very excited because this batch of episodes, Rob, if you haven't watched it yet, it was pretty good.
I haven't watched it yet. I see Salvador here on with his ukulele on the cover.
Yes, a whole man, if mm-hmm. you ask me. But yes, we're going to be breaking down episodes 6 through 9, giving all of our thoughts, and then they do release the finale next week. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk all about all of the couples and just what they got into in this batch of episodes.
Okay. I'm loving Love Is Blind, and the podcasts have been phenomenal. You and Mary together have been really great through the first week of episodes. So I can't wait to hear what you come up with for Love Is Blind week two. But in the meantime, what's going on in Married at First Sight?
Yeah. So every week, Jason Reed and I are breaking down each and every episode. This week, we've had fire guests the past 3 weeks. This week is just us. We talked about episode 7. One couple already had their decision day and decided if they wanted to stay married or get divorced because they were just having so many issues. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about all of these couples, and it's been a pretty interesting season so far. Not too many promising love stories, but it's been entertaining nonetheless. So definitely check it out.
Asia, it's very important to, as I'm not qualified to give relationship advice, but I can give podcast co-host relationship advice. And that's very important that you every so often you have a week with no guest because it really strengthens the podcast relationship.
Yes, it really strengthened our bond because, when we have a guest, we're like, man, we're still going over, we go over 2 hours. And then when it was just me and Jason, we went 2.5 hours. So mm-hmm. we just couldn't stop talking to each other. Okay. So.
If you like hearing about people who get married without ever meeting in person and you like Asia Welch, check out our First Sight feed, robinswebsite.com/firstsightfeed, Married at First Sight and Love Is Blind, all in one place. And of course, we appreciate your feedback and ratings here at the start of the Love Is Blind season to help more people find the podcast. That's at robinswebsite.com/firstsightfeed. All right. Kevin and Nigel, you got to speak with the great Matt Scott over at Pod Friends this week. What could we expect to hear from in that episode?
You get a good idea about who we are, our relationship. Oh, and to all the listeners, we're gay. I guess maybe why are these two fellas on the same panel? But we talk about our relationship, who we are, and I think it's just a really cool way to get to know us. And it's all fun and interspersed between. So it's very romantic comedy, if you will.
Ooh. Yeah, it was really great to get to listen back and hear the back and forth of our love origin story.
So. Yeah, it's a Valentine's Day special. It was really nice. We talked for three hours as a reaction to it on Valentine's Day. So, good conversation starter if you want to talk about two people you've never met. It's could really help you too.
Okay, check that out in the Pod Friends podcast feed, robswebsite.com/podfriendsfeed for that. And then, of course, we have been asked to share this link for Big Brother contestants. Asia, if you reconsider, bigbrothercasting.tv/home. Let's send a listener into the Big Brother house so Taryn can keep up with what they're doing all summer long. Okay, Big Brother
casting that will make good TV.
Yeah, bigbrothercasting.tv/home. Okay, and then. For the patrons, Rob's podcast, a lot going on. We dropped an episode of the Patron 5 for 5 on Friday. We had The Slop talking about all of the nonsense in the house, including The Week in Todrick with Puya and Jenny Autumn. Plus, we make it very easy for you to watch all of the Australian Survivor and much more. That's over at robinswebsite.com/patron. Okay? And then coming up, we will have another edition of The Slop. Liana Boris and Mike Bloom are going to join us the day after the finale to talk about a very sloppy season of Celebrity Big Brother. Tuesday night, we'll have a new patron orientation where I will talk with the newest patrons about how to access all your benefits. And we'll do some Q&A. Stop by if that applies to you on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Okay. And of course, we have a replay of that we will post as well. Hit that subscribe button to make sure that you are following everything we're doing on YouTube and in our podcast feeds. And of course, follow us on social media at Rob is a Podcast on on Twitter, on TikTok, and then at RJP Grams over on Instagram. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Asia. What's coming up for you?
Yeah. So, you can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So AYSHA like ASIA. So yeah, outside of Married at First Sight and Love is Blind, you could find me on Nothing But Netflix talking about the Tinder Swindler. So that was a blast.
Yes. That was a really good podcast, by the way.
Yeah. It was so fun.
Yes.
I mean, to find out that he's now on Cameo, you know, I saw some of his cameos.
Although I have to say, Asia, to be fair, the Tinder Swindler does put a lot of effort into all of his cameos, unlike Todrick Hall.
Yes, very true.
He will personalize them and really try, unlike some people.
Can I just say, I'm finding it hilarious that so many Big Brother alumni are like coming out of the woodwork to be like, unbelievable, this Todrick Hall. I can't believe the things that he is saying in that house. He doesn't personalize his cameos. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but I think it's also like a little bit more or less nuanced. It's like, on my cameos, I really take the time to you make it very special. People really get their money's worth from me.
I swear I'm Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Only the worst people ever would not personalize their cameos.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that is hilarious because I've seen a compilation of some of the cameos he has even posted on his profile that are just like same words back to back to back. Wait, he wasn't lying.
It's fine. They're like, okay, that's what, like, look, there's a lot of people like, if you're like Kevin from The Office is like, the biggest person on Cameo, and he like all of his are pretty much the same, but he doesn't go around like bragging like, oh my God. Like every, like, I am just like, I will not personalize it at all. This is what you get.
Right.
I do find the whole Cameo ecosystem to be very fascinating because at the end of the day, like people are getting what they pay for. Like, you know, like if people want to pay a lot of money for a Cameo, then, you know, that's what they're going to do. And if people don't, then they don't. I don't know why it's so weird, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Look, I got a cameo from, or I bought a cameo from Danny from Survivor.
Yes.
For my mom.
Yes.
For Christmas. And it was beautiful. It was so personalized. He took every note into detail. So there are people out there who were really putting some effort even into cameos that aren't like above like $70. So it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I have coming up. If I have anything else coming up, follow me on Twitter.
Okay. Great job, Asia. Kevin and Nigel, so nice to have you back. What else is coming up for you two?
I don't think we really have anything concrete in the pipeline at the moment.
Yeah, nothing concrete, really. But look, you don't have it either, like the Egyptians?
We're not technology smart. No. Yeah. But you can follow us on technology smart platforms like Instagram or Twitter. Mm-hmm. If you just care about our personal lives, then I'm at Asian Narcissist on Instagram and at Asian Narc on Twitter for short.
And I am at Nigel Speed.
Okay. Thank you both for being with us here tonight and giving up. Well, you're on the West Coast. You still have time for Saturday Night Plans.
We do. That's why it was an easy watch for us.
It was easy. It was easy.
It's
for
a wrap
you.
For me.
Yeah.
The night's done.
It's done. It's done. Okay. And then Taryn, what about for you?
Come find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Watching the episodes live with you all definitely makes watching them more interesting and enjoyable. So, come watch with me. Find me on Twitter, YouTube. Check out the Raised by Wolves podcast. And check out the Taryn Show.
Okay. One more note to tell you about. On Monday night, we're going to be live at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, to do a special live stream in remembrance of our friend Daquan that we lost, sadly, this week. We're going to be over on Taryn's Twitch channel. So if you're already following Taryn, make sure you join us on Monday night, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. It's going to be myself and Taryn, Puya, Kirsten McInnes, Josh Wigler, and we'll be hearing from many other people that were touched in their lives by Daquan, who really his entire life was about bringing people together online. And we'll be celebrating that and sharing a lot of great stories and memories from people. That's going to be on Monday night at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So hope you can join us there for that. Until next time, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.